Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the TNT Sports Talk Podcast with your hosts, Taylor Anderson and Tony Huff. And now broadcasting live from beautiful East Lansing, Michigan, are your hosts, Taylor Anderson and Tony Huff. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the TNT Sports Talk Podcast. I am Tony Huff. Along with me is my good friend and co-host, Taylor Anderson. And Taylor, it's nice to have you here tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the Detroit Tigers, the NHL season, the Detroit Red Wings winning yesterday, and then, of course, anything else that we want to talk about. So, first off, it's great to have you back.
It's good to be back. It's been a while since we've been able to record podcasts. We've been busy, both of us, with various other projects in life. It's good to be back, though. I'm excited to talk a little Tigers baseball, a little Red Wings talk.
Yeah, you know, it's been, what, 2 years since we've actually done a podcast with me and you. You went to Wales. You went away from us. But now we're back having a good time.
Yeah, it was a good experience, but I'm glad to be back back home. Obviously, it means we can do the podcast in person, which is always fun. So.
Yeah, I know. It's always fun. Let's talk a little bit about the Detroit Tigers. 9-1, starting off in 10 games. They are really doing a very good job this year, and something that not a lot of people really thought was going to happen.
Well, it's almost a surprising start in that they haven't had one of their best pitchers pitch a game yet. They've only lost one, and it was a very close game.
Yeah.
Verlander actually reports out that he may even miss a start on Tuesday. He may be pushed back even further, but the way the Tigers pitching staff is pitching right now, I'm not too terribly worried about that. This is the best start to a season the Tigers had since 1984, which Tigers fans know. 84 was a pretty good year. We can keep that going. I like our chances. Pitching has been great. The defense has been much improved.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people kind of questioned the Speedus trade. We gave away, was it Pfister or Porcello?
Well,
defense in the outfield has already saved a couple of runs for the Tigers. Opening day, he robbed a ridiculous home run.
Yeah.
I mean, he went over the wall and pulled it out. So I think that's an upgrade.
The one thing that I would say is that Cespedes trade was fantastic. He is one of those guys that you want to have around that can hit the ball because that's what they need. They need more guys that can hit the ball, you know. Even though they have just a whole bunch of guys that are able to do that. You have Iglesias, you have Cabrera, you've even got the second baseman, Kindler. You know, you got a lot of guys that can hit the ball. But having another guy there to almost protect Miggy, that, like, Miggy can actually do what he does best, which is hit the ball. It's been fun to watch Miguel Cabrera early on this year because he's been a little bit hurt, just from the surgeries over the offseason. But he still puts the ball in play. Like, he's not hitting the long ball, but he puts the ball in play. And I think that's where he's the most dangerous, is when he's able to put that ball in play and kind of get that team on, like, on edge almost.
Cabrera has a great all-around swing. When you look at him swing the baseball bat, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Right.
And like you said, he puts the ball in play. He doesn't just hit the long ball. And with Cabrera, I think if you look, his numbers would indicate that he tends to get hotter with hitting the long ball as the season goes on. Statistically, everyone gets hotter as it goes on once the temperatures increase, the ball carries farther.
Right.
Physics, I'm not a scientist, but that's what everyone tells me.
And I'm not a scientist.
And so to him not hitting the long ball right now doesn't concern me because we know he's got power. The fact that he's still hitting the ball to all three parts of the field, if you want to get really simplistic, is really, really good to see. And, yeah, I think the Speedus trade gives him another layer of protection beyond just putting Victor or J.D. Martinez behind him in
right.
the four-hole, because now you can put Suspects up the two-hole or even drop him back to four. And either way, opposing pitchers, there is no weakness in the Tigers' batting order right now.
Right.
Even if they put out Rajay Davis led off the other night for whatever reason.
He hit a home run.
And he hit a home run. I mean, the Tigers are stacked top to bottom with not necessarily home run threats, but they all have solid hitters from top to bottom, guys that'll work the count, they'll get on base, they'll hit the balls all corners of the field.
Yeah.
There's not one hitter where you can put a shift on and chalk it up as an out. Like you have, for instance, with Boston, they have a huge shift that everyone puts on when David Ortiz comes to the plate. And 9 times out of 10, all he's got to do is just hit the ball to where the defenders are at home.
Yeah.
And he just can't do that. You can't do that with Tigers. There's no true weakness in that bat.
The one thing I like about the Tigers is that they actually worked on a little bit of their speed in the last couple of years during Ausmus. You know, I think that during the Leland years, they definitely went all in on a couple of big players. And I don't think that's totally Leland. I don't think it's totally Ausmus. But I think what they really did was they developed kind of bringing that younger guy in, maybe the guy who can actually run the bases a little bit. You know, Rajay Davis is a guy who can run the bases. Even Kinsler is a guy who can get a steal every now and again. So it's nice to see that they're playing baseball. You know, it's not just we're going to try and go out and hit home runs against you. It's also we're going to try and play some baseball.
Yeah, it sounds odd to say they almost play National League baseball.
Yeah.
You know, they prioritize every out. They're looking to move runners over, get runners in scoring position, and score on singles and doubles. They're not waiting for, you know, Miguel or Victor Martinez to crush a 3-run homer to win a game. You know, they're getting guys in good position. They're making smart decisions, and they're being rewarded for it. I mean,
yeah.
1-10 season, you cannot get much better than that. You can only be one game better than that, and that hasn't happened quite some time either. So, it's, you know, the match is the best start in franchise history through 10 games. So, you can't really complain.
Right.
I can't see a single thing to complain about other than the one thing that's gotten the Tigers over the last few years is the bullpen. But today, tie ball game, going into 9th inning,
yeah.
The bullpen didn't blow it, which for the Tigers the last couple of years, that's a pretty big compliment. I mean,
right.
It gave the Tigers a chance to win about the 9th inning. And Jose Iglesias came out, got his first walkout hit as a Tiger. And there we are.
There we are, yeah. It's nice seeing Jose Iglesias back in the lineup, contributing again. I really like this Tigers team. Not a lot of people believed in them at the beginning of the season. A lot of people were looking at Kansas City or the Cleveland Indians in the Central. But I still think the Tigers have a very good shot at winning this Central.
Well, they're 4-time reigning champions.
Yeah.
Kansas City got the World Series last year, and I think that's why a lot of picked the Royals.
Right. Well, they started off well, too. I mean, they also did a
Kansas City's a great team. They're going to be fighting with us in the division all the way through game 162. I fully believe that the second-place team in the AL Central is going to get a wild card spot again because these are going to be two of the best teams in the American League.
Yeah.
But right now, the Tigers, for whatever reason, they have it all going. Pitching is doing well. They're hitting the ball well all across the lineup. And they're just they're a solid team. They really work on their fundamentals, spring training.
Yeah.
You know, they're not giving up pitches, not giving up these outs. You know, right now the runners have the green light. But they're not making stupid decisions on the base paths, which we've seen a few times.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think a lot of people discount the Tigers because of the, I guess it's that questionable trade of getting rid of Porcello. Because he was one of the most underrated pitchers in the rotation last year.
But they got rid of a lot of guys. They got rid of Pfister. They got rid of Scherzer. They got rid of Porcello. They got rid of a lot of guys in the last couple
of
years.
I think losing Scherzer alone this offseason is probably the biggest reason people hit the Tigers not do too well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel with the money that Scherzer and Scott Boras were looking for, I think it was a really smart move for the Tigers to say, here's our offer. We've already possibly made a mistake in giving a huge contract to a pitcher that's possibly already hit their peak. We're not going to do that again. You know, I think they learned from the Verlander deal. I think they learned from the Prince Fielder deal that we can't just throw money at problems and expect to win anyways.
Right.
I think it was smart to say, here's what we're willing to do. We appreciate all you've done for us. You know, you're a Cy Young winner. Here's what we value you at. If you get more money from somewhere else, go get your money. It's a business.
Now, I do have a question about Joe Nathan. He's the Tigers' closer. Been on the DL. You have Ausmus that's saying he's going to be our closer. But after seeing what Soria's done in the last 10 games, or at least in that span of the last, you know, of the beginning of the season, do you believe that Nathan comes back into the closing spot? Or do you think Soria's really kind of made that his job.
I think when Nathan comes back, he'll be given a game or two to show he can still do it.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced he can. I haven't seen anything from him in spring training or in the early part of the season,
obviously.
But I haven't seen anything from him in recent memory that really says he is still going to be the closer. I think Soria, when he's healthy, is a much better closer right now than Joe Nathan. Obviously, this is 3-4 years ago. It's a
yeah.
story. But right now, I don't think that the closer position is dated by default when he comes back.
I think
Austin is saying that to kind of play to his ego a little and to keep Soria pitching angry and saying, hey,
yeah.
I want this spot. This can be mine.
Well, and also, he doesn't have to decide right now. You know what I mean? Like, Austin's had some time. You know, he's going to be on the DL for a little bit. But I really think that Soria has stepped up. He's been the pitcher that they wanted last year.
Yeah.
They wanted him to be the closer last year, and that's why Nathan's on the team, is because they had to make a move to get some sort of pitching at the end. You know, I don't think it's not any type of surprise that the bullpen pitching is probably the biggest weakness on the Tigers lineup.
Yeah, the bullpen has been our biggest weakness in the last few years now. Yeah, the only reason that Joe Nathan is still with the Tigers, in my opinion, is because Soria was injured at the end of last season.
Yeah.
We never fully saw what he could offer to the Tigers in that position. And pitching the way he is now,
right.
I firmly believe that they would have parted ways with Joe Nathan, and we would have seen possibly another minor leaguer come out. The thing is, I'm not sure who else we would turn to if we didn't have those two, though. And that's kind of the problem right now with Tigers, is there's no top closing prospect waiting in the wings for us to bring up and say, this
right.
is your job, win.
Oh, no, absolutely.
So
yeah.
I think for right now we're kind of stuck with the lesser of two people in that position. But if Soria keeps pitching the way he is, I'll go after
it. The fun thing about Soria is that he doesn't beat you with speed. He beats you with precision. You know, he's only thrown about a 91-mile-an-hour fastball, but he can hit any corner of the plate.
Mariano Rivera got by with 91-mile-an-hour fastballs for 20 years.
True, yeah. You know, and he's considered one of the greatest closers of all time.
As Jim Price said, that's the art of pitching.
Yeah, so it's going to be nice to watch the Tigers this year. I'm sure you're going to make it to a game, or do you have any plans to make it to a game?
I don't have anything specific yet. I think after our wedding in June,
yeah.
I'll go to a few Tigers team. But,
very nice.
I'll get to at least one or two. I didn't go last season.
Yeah.
I
know Brandon's trying to go tomorrow, and I think they're playing the White Sox right now.
They are playing Chicago.
Yeah, you know, which is a great game to go to because, you know, White Sox is Chicago. Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we'll talk about the NHL, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about golf. This is the TNT Sports Talk Podcast.
Hey, Brandon Manson here to tell you about a brand new podcast called The Michigan Beer Show. It's hosted by me and my good buddy Tony Huff, and every show we'll be breaking down one of Michigan's finest brews and give you the lowdown on the latest Michigan beer news, events, and what new releases you should be looking forward to. So keep your eyes peeled and your glasses full for Michigan's only podcast dedicated to its finest natural resource. It's The Michigan Beer Show, only on the BNT Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tony Huff, part of the TNT Sports Talk Podcast. Be sure to check us out every week for updates. And Taylor, where can they go to find these updates?
Well, people can check out our Twitter, which the Twitter handle is at TNT Sports Talk. You can also check out all of our podcasts that are archived at soundcloud.com/TNT Sports Talk.
And whenever we go live, we'll make sure that we make an update on our Twitter. That's TNT Sports Talk on Twitter.
Hey, I'm Taylor Anderson, part of the...
You need cooling, baby, I'm not cooling. All right, and welcome back to the TNT Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Tony Huff. Along with me is my good friend and co-host, Taylor Anderson. Now, Taylor, you just cracked another beer. That's very nice. But let's talk about the NHL a little bit. The Detroit Red Wings getting the win against Tampa Bay Lightning last night. What sent you?
It's impressive because Tampa had the best home record in the National Hockey League this season.
Mm-hmm.
And the Red Wings lost twice in Tampa this year. So going to the playoffs. I was a little nervous facing the Lightning on the road. But the Wings showed up, man. And they
did. They did. Empty net at the end of the game. I mean, like...
The most impressive part to me was not necessarily the Red Wings won, because obviously huge bias here. I expect Red Wings to win.
Yeah.
But the fact that the way that they won, they didn't concede a late goal to make it too close. They had a situation where they were shorthanded with a little bit of time left in the game, and they got breakaway, and Luke Glendening, who, he's a Michigan alumni, but whatever, I like him now, he scored a ridiculous backhanded goal, shorthanded. If you haven't seen it yet and you appreciate beautiful goals, you need to go watch it.
Okay.
It's a highlight reel goal, and it iced the game, and Tampa was stuck. I mean, that's only his second or third goal ever as a Red Wing in his second year, so that kind of shows you how much magic was going for the Red Wings.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely nice to watch. I was actually doing a team trivia, so I wasn't able to watch as much as I wanted to, but it was nice to see that the Red Wings were able to do something that not a lot of people really gave them credit for. I think that a lot of people thought, oh, they made it into the playoffs for the umpteenth millionth time. 24th year, yeah. No, we do know that it's the 24th year, but at the same time, I mean, it seems like when you talk about playoffs, the Detroit Red Wings are a foregone conclusion that they're going to make it into the playoffs, which really does speak well to the franchise. And, you know, the fans here are just fantastic. But a lot of people are really kind of downplaying this team this year. It almost seems like, we made it to the playoffs, but we don't really believe in this team, you know. And getting that win was definitely something that, as a Detroit fan, was really nice to see.
I think one of the reasons that the Red Wings are kind of downplayed a lot this season is that we've had such issues with the goaltending position.
Right.
Obviously, they have Jimmy Howard, who could be sort of the number one goalie right now.
Right.
Great goalie. He represented USA as the third goalie in the Olympics last season. But this year, he's kind of had a down year. And so it's allowed Peter Mrazek, who's been playing with the Griffins primarily before this past season, to really kind of step in and say, hey, maybe I should get a look. Yesterday was his birthday, game one of the playoffs. I think he turned 24, I'm not sure.
Right.
He's ridiculously young to be starting the playoffs. And he was magnificent.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave up two goals, but they were well-earned goals, you know. And in his first playoff start, regardless, he was outstanding. And, you know, the goalie is kind of like quarterback in the NFL, and I think if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one quarterback.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing in the NHL. If you have two goaltenders, you don't really have one. So I think a lot of people with Detroit said, well, they don't really know what they're doing on the back end, defense, and their goaltending is questionable. And they kind of wrote them off a little early.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was nice to see that they were able to win. What do you put on their chances to actually advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I think they have a really good shot against Tampa now.
Yeah.
When you win that first game, all of a sudden, your odds obviously increase dramatically.
And Tampa's not a good road team either. They're about 500 on the year.
They're not great on the road, and again, we're biased, but it's really hard to come into Joe Louis Arena and win on the road in the playoffs. It's one of the hardest places to win on the road, especially in the playoffs. I think the only places that are tougher are arguably probably Madison Square Garden, the Rangers, and the Dallas here in Montreal for the Canadiens. Those are the only two arenas where you have a decided home ice advantage in the playoffs that is better than the other arenas.
Real quick, what's something you want to tell the viewer, or the listeners rather, about the Detroit Red Wings, about this year in general?
This year in general, we haven't been as good as we could have been.
Okay.
And I think you're going to start to see the best version of the Red Wings now that the playoffs are here.
Yeah.
You've got the good young players up. The veterans are all healthy. And as long as they ride Mrazek and goal to the top, I think they can make a deep run. Watch out for Gustav Nyquist, number 14.
All right.
He's gonna make big waves in the playoffs this year.
Sounds good. Well, you heard it from Taylor himself. Look out for Lundqvist at the end of this playoff year. What?
Nyquist.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Lundqvist is the goalie.
Lundqvist is the goalie. Well, you can watch a whole bunch of people. I'm sure Taylor wouldn't be upset. We're gonna take a quick commercial break. This is the TNT Sports Talk Podcast.
Hey, Brandon Manson here to tell you about a brand new podcast called The Michigan Beer Show. It's hosted by me and my good buddy Tony Huff. At every show, we'll be breaking down one of Michigan's finest brews and give you the lowdown on the latest Michigan beer news, events, and what new releases you should be looking forward to. So keep your eyes peeled and your glasses full for Michigan's only podcast dedicated to its finest natural resource. It's the Michigan Beer Show, only on the BNT Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tony Huff, part of the TNT Sports Talk podcast. Be sure to check us out every week for updates. And Taylor, where can they go to find these updates?
Well, people can check out our Twitter, which the Twitter handle is at TNT Sports Talk. You can also check out all of our podcasts that are archived at soundcloud.com/TNT Sports Talk.
And whenever we go live, we'll make sure that we make an update on our Twitter. That's TNT Sports Talk on Twitter.
Hey, I'm Taylor Anderson, part of the TNT Sports Talk podcast. Just want to let all our faithful listeners out there know that we're now available to listen to on iTunes. Just go into the iTunes store and search TNT Sports Talk in the podcast logo. And, of course, as always, make sure you follow us on Twitter, at TNT Sports Talk.
And I'm Tony Huff, part of the TNT Sports Talk podcast. And if you feel like you have an opinion that needs to be heard, you can always call in at 646-200-0088. That's 646-200-0088.
My good friend and co-host, Taylor Anderson. Taylor, we only have a couple minutes left, but I did want to talk about the Masters that happened last week. Jordan Spieth, I mean, has the new generation arrived?
I think so. I think right now we're looking at the top two in the world being Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. Those would be one and two right there. And you could argue that Jordan might jump ahead of Rory just because he won the Masters.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now, as it stands, coming into this week, you know, Rory was still number one, Jordan was number two. But the way in which he took over that tournament, I mean, from wire to wire, he won. I mean, that's the first time since Jack Nicklaus did that, get this, in 76. I mean, that's a long time. I mean, you're talking about one of the greatest golfers ever. There's only been four guys to have done that. To me, that is just unbelievable that he was able to do it wire to wire. And it seems like he fed off of some of that passion of losing to Bubba Watson the year before.
Last year was really impressive when he did finish second to Bubba Watson, but this year was even more impressive when he put up that ridiculous number on the first day.
Yeah.
1,600, 1,400?
Well, no, not on the first day. He shot
a really
– he shot 64. Okay.
Okay.
72 is even.
Okay.
So I mean, 8 under.
Either way. Yeah. Ridiculously to 1 point.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But he hit 1,900, first person ever to hit 1,900.
He was one stroke away from beating Tiger Woods' record for the lowest score at Augusta.
And he beat it.
Did he beat it? I thought he won away.
He ended up beating it, but he never. Let me say this. He never finished at 1,900. He tied Woods' record at
It was a fantastic performance for a 21-year-old.
You know, and it really was. It was great to see. It was fun to watch. I was actually cheering against him. I wanted Phil to win, but you know what? At the same time, it's nice to see that golf has kind of turned a leaf, I guess, if you will.
Is there something for that? Really good to see a new crop of golf just coming up.
No, absolutely. Well, it's been fun with you, Taylor. Do you have any last words?
No, I think we covered everything. So, good time. I'm glad to be back. Hope we can do it again.
Yeah, me too. Well, thanks for listening. This is the TNT Sports Talk.